Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We're going to jump straight into the Word of God this morning. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17. What a book, what a name. Luke chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 11. I know I'm slightly biased. Verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Holy Spirit, we invite you to come right now and to speak to us through your word. God, we thank you that you have given us your truth, and we ask that your word, your truth, would shape our minds right now, would shape our hearts and the way that we live. God, we say right now, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in our hearts and in our minds and in this church. And we thank you, God, that you are in the business of speaking to your people. And we open our hearts right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, the title of this morning's message is Gratitude is Warfare. Gratitude is Warfare. Human beings have always had opinions. Human beings having strong opinions is not a new thing, is it? But what humans haven't always had is the internet, is social media. And people these days seem to really enjoy expressing their opinions through social media, expressing their complaints or their critiques through social media. There seems to be more people than ever before, I don't know if you've noticed, but more people than ever before who really feel the urge to get their opinion out there, to get their complaint out there, to critique different things. And it's amazing how courageous people can be when they're in their bedroom behind their computer. We call them keyboard warriors. I love it. There's so many keyboard warriors out there. And I was reading an article in yesterday's paper, and it was talking about one of the biggest challenges that Australian athletes have today is that when people conclude that an athlete hasn't performed to their expectation, they feel like they have a right to jump on their social media and to let this athlete know that they are no good and they haven't performed, and to get really personal. And one of the biggest challenges many athletes face is trolls, people who are wanting to critique them and comment on every aspect of their lives. And many in our culture seem to spend so much of their energy tearing others down, complaining, focusing on negatives. But how many people know this? If you spend all of your energy focusing on the problems, it's likely you're not going to have much energy left to find the solutions. You see, the thing that you spend your time focusing on, the thing that you spend your time magnifying, is ultimately the thing that will define your life, is ultimately the thing that will shape the way that you think. Now, while the language of our culture at times may be to complain, maybe to critique, maybe to point out the negatives, I believe the language of the kingdom is gratitude. The language of the kingdom is thankfulness. And we see this when you read the Gospels. Jesus, time and time again, he would pour out his thankfulness and his gratitude towards the Father. I mean, think about it. The night before, Jesus would be arrested and crucified. He dedicated that evening to gathering with his disciples, having a meal with them, and thanking the Father for all that he had done. I don't know about you, but if it was the eve of my crucifixion, I'm probably not spending the whole night in thankfulness to the Father. If you read the epistles, the Apostle Paul, in almost every single one of his letters, he takes time to express thanks. He gives thanks to God. He gives thanks to those who he is co-laboring with. In one book alone, Colossians, in a brief book, seven times, the Apostle Paul gives thanks. Gratitude and thankfulness is the language of the kingdom. And in this story in Luke 17, we are introduced to 10 lepers. Now, these lepers had likely had their lives defined by their disease. They were considered unclean. They were considered defiled. They were social outcasts. They weren't allowed around anyone that was healthy. They were spiritual outcasts. They weren't allowed to go to the temple. And their disease was considered to be punishment for sin and wrong that they had done in their lives. These 10 men had had their lives defined by their disease. And in a moment of time, after hearing about this Messiah, the one they've heard about that can work signs and wonders, they hear about Jesus and they come to find him. And the Bible says they stayed at a distance because that's what the law required of them, because they were lepers. And they yell out to Jesus, "Jesus, have pity on us." And Jesus' response is really interesting. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priests." You see, the law at that time required that if someone with leprosy thought they had been healed, they needed to go to a priest to have that cleansing or that healing verified before they could transition back into normality. So that makes sense. So these 10 lepers head off to see the priest, and as they go, they are miraculously healed. Not when they got there, but as they went, they were healed. Now, one of them, who is a Samaritan, as he's headed to see the priest, he realizes that something is changing. He realizes that God is healing him. I can imagine him like looking at his skin and going, "Is this really happening?" Like after living with this disease for so long, I can imagine him pinching himself and going, "Is this a dream? Is this real?" And he realizes that he has been healed. So immediately he does a 180 U-turn and he rushes back to Jesus and throws himself at Jesus' feet and begins to express his gratitude. And at this point, it's interesting, because Jesus responds by saying, "Hey, where are the other 9? Are they not going to return to give thanks to God for the healing?" Now, at this point, I'm kind of like, hang on, Jesus. Like, what's going on here, Jesus? Because Jesus has just told them to go and to show themselves to the priests. So these guys, these lepers, are doing the right thing. The one that has done the wrong thing according to the law is the one who has returned. And he's come back to Jesus. So it's almost like a contradiction. What is going on here, Jesus? You told these men to go to the priests and to show themselves to the priests. What are you getting at here, Jesus? You see, the 9 were so focused on keeping the external rules, focused on what seeing the priests and transitioning back into normality meant for their future, that they never stopped and took a moment to go, "I need to return and give thanks to the one that has healed me." They were so fixed on keeping the rules. But the one goes, "Hang on, I can, my transition back into normality can wait. I need to go and give thanks and gratitude to the one that has healed me. So he returns and he pours out his gratitude to the Father. You see, God is not looking for our compliance with an external set of rules, but he is looking for our deep, heartfelt, genuine outpouring of gratitude and thanks for who he is in our lives. You see, the nine were so focused on keeping the rules of their faith that they missed the goal of their faith, Jesus. They were so caught up in the law and going and seeing the priests. They were so fixed on keeping the rules that they missed the whole purpose of their religion, of their faith, which was the coming Messiah, Jesus. They were so focused on their healing and the fact that they could now transition back into normality that they missed the healer himself, Jesus, the one that wouldn't just heal them externally but could heal the sickness of sin in their hearts. They missed out in that moment. Today I would love to be able to say, hey, I'm always like the one. I always make sure I return and give thanks to God for the good things he does in my life. But can we be real in church this morning? I often look like the nine. And often all of us would have moments where we look like the nine. You know, I'll pray for things and God, you know, can you come through on this thing? And God answers the prayer and God blesses my life. And I'm like, yes, this is amazing. I get caught up in the blessing and I get caught up in getting back into the busyness of life that sometimes I can forget to actually return to God and say, God, I thank you so much for answering that prayer. I thank you so much for blessing my life. God, thank you so much for doing that incredible thing. The truth is, gratitude doesn't come naturally to most of us. You know, if we've got one thing in our life that's going incredibly well, if we've got 10 things that are going incredibly well and one thing that's not going so great, what do we focus on? We focus on that one thing in our lives that isn't going so well. As human beings, we don't generally default to gratitude. We default to self, or we default to fear. We default to worry. There are some very real obstacles to gratitude that we all face, and one of those is familiarity. Familiarity. Whenever something becomes overly familiar to us, we can quickly take that thing for granted. Do I have any coffee lovers out there? Give me a wave if you are just, yeah, nearly the whole congregation. We are a coffee people. We love our food. We love our coffee out here at East. Thank you, Jesus. I love coffee. Most mornings, I wake up to freshly ground beans. I pull out my AeroPress and I begin to make a coffee. If I'm not making a fresh coffee, I'll go to the local cafe and grab a coffee where Pastor Raph seems to live. Anytime I ever go to that cafe, Pastor Raph is there. How many shots do you have a day? Maybe 20 shots. We need to pray for this man. He needs help. But coffee is an incredible thing. But how many people know Melbourne has great coffee? Like when you live in Melbourne, you just expect good coffee. It's not like, oh, where's a good coffee? Like I'm going to search the whole of Melbourne. We are familiar with good coffee in Melbourne. And sometimes we can take it for granted because it's just what we know. We wake up and we have a good coffee. My best friend lives in London. Every time he returns to Melbourne, comes to see his family and hang out, I'll give him a call. I'll be like, hey, Paul, what are you up to? He's like, oh, I'm just down at the cafe getting a coffee. An hour later, hey, where are you at now? Like, we're meant to catch up. You're meant to be at my house. Where are you? Oh, I'm just checking out a different cafe. Like, they got really good coffee, I hear. Then later in the afternoon, I'm like, give him a call. Hey, you want to catch up? He's like, yeah, come pick me up. We'll go grab a coffee. I'm like, dude, you've had 3 coffees already. And his response is, do you know where I live? I live in London. Melbourne has incredible coffee, so when I'm in Melbourne, I want to drink coffee 24/7. He doesn't take it for granted because it's not familiar to him. But to us, it is familiar. What about the Bible? If I'm to be honest, I mean, I love the Bible. When I wake up, there's plenty of options. I've got study Bibles. I've got exegetical Bibles. I've got application Bibles. I've got Bible Logos software. Like, I've got all the Bibles you can get your hands on because I love the Word of God. It's our foundation. But there's some mornings I wake up and I don't feel this great sense of excitement to get into the Word of God. Can we be real this morning? We don't always wake up going, oh my goodness, I get to read the Bible this morning. Because in this culture and in our context, we can read the Bible at any time. It's not outlawed. We've all got Bibles. We can afford Bibles. And sometimes because something is familiar, we can take the opportunity for granted. But if you talk to someone in another part of the world, in a part of India or Asia or wherever it is that doesn't have a Bible, maybe can't afford a Bible, if you gave them a Bible, the gratitude you would see, the hunger, the desire to get into the Word of God you would see would blow you away. What about the grace of God? What about the grace of God? The fact that we don't need to spend our whole lives performing to get God on our side, but we are eternally accepted in Christ because of what He's done. And when we stuff up, we don't have to make up for it because it's covered by grace. We don't need to climb a ladder, but we are freely accepted in Christ. We know this and we hear about it all the time. And sometimes our hearts can grow a little bit familiar with the grace of God. And sometimes what is incredible, something that is amazing, no longer amazes our hearts. Sometimes we can take it for granted. Why? The truth is, that statement is so true. Familiarity breeds contempt. You see, when you have regular association with something or someone, it can lead to complacency. It can lead to us losing our awe and our wonder. But I don't know about you, but when it comes to God, I want to have a heart that stays amazed at who God is. I want to stay in awe and wonder of God and His grace and His goodness. I don't want to grow overly familiar with who God is in my life. This is why we are called to practice gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Gratitude is a discipline before it's a feeling. Gratitude is a discipline before it's a feeling. Now, all of us have had moments where we feel incredibly grateful. We are overwhelmed with this rush of thankfulness. I remember when Summer was born and the doctor handed Summer to me and let me know, hey, this little girl is perfectly healthy. After having a pregnancy where we didn't know what was going to happen, we didn't know if this child would be born with a serious health condition. In that moment when I was handed a perfectly healthy baby, I was filled with overwhelming emotions of gratitude and thankfulness. So we have those moments, but how many people know we don't wake up every morning feeling that way? We don't wake up every morning going, wow, I just feel incredibly grateful today. We wake up going, hey, I need a coffee or I'm going to hurt someone some mornings. Let's be real. I've got a hand in the middle. Thank you, Mario. Sometimes we're going through tough circumstances and the last thing we feel like doing is being grateful, is expressing thankfulness. And that's why gratitude needs to be a decision of the will. A choice, a discipline that we engage with. You see, gratitude is warfare. Giving thanks to God is one of the greatest weapons we have been given to combat the lies of the enemy. Because this is how the enemy operates. The enemy wants to so magnify a lie, so magnify a problem in our lives that all you and I can see is that lie. All we can see is that problem. And all of a sudden, that problem consumes our life. And all of a sudden, we begin to live our daily lives in a place called despair. But as soon as you and I go, hang on, God has blessed my life with so much. God has given me so much. God, I thank you that I'm breathing today. I thank you that I'm healthy today. I thank you that you have given me a great family. I thank you that you have put me in a church. I thank you that I have a future. As soon as we begin to declare what God has blessed us with, we regain perspective. And all of a sudden, what felt incredibly overwhelming, we're like, hey, that's not bad after all, because God has given me so much. God has blessed my life with so much. Why am I getting fixed on this one little lie or problem that the enemy is wanting to magnify over and over and over? He wants you to lose your perspective. But as soon as we declare what we have in Christ, perspective begins to return. And all of a sudden, we can live in peace again. Give thanks in all circumstances. Gratitude is one of the greatest weapons we have to fight destructive thinking. It is scientifically proven that gratitude changes the human brain. That when we are grateful, it is one of the ingredients that shapes the neural pathways in our brain. Don't you love when science catches up to what the Bible's been saying for decades? Like, this book was written kind of a long time ago, and there's so much truth in it. I love when science complements what the Bible has been telling us for so long. Familiarity is a challenge, but something else that's a challenge is entitlement. Have you ever noticed that entitlement has a way of robbing your heart of gratitude? See, entitlement says, I deserve this, I'm entitled to this, so therefore, when I get it, I don't need to be thankful. I deserve it, it belongs to me, so why do I need to express thankfulness when I get it? But on the other hand, the gospel says, I don't deserve a single thing. In fact, what I deserve is separation from God because of my rebellion and sin. But in Christ, I have been given everything. In Christ, I have been given God's love and grace. I have been given a future, and therefore, I should live every day of my life with a posture of gratitude and thankfulness to God for what He has done in my life. You think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were given everything. They were put in a garden. They were put in paradise. God had not withheld from them. But the enemy comes to them and he convinces them that they are entitled to eat from the tree of knowledge. He convinces them that they are entitled to know what God knows. And what do? They eat from that tree. And there's kind of been some small consequences as a result we've been dealing with for a long time. He convinced them that they were entitled to engage in eating from that tree. And to be honest with you, one of the things that I am super grateful for in our lives is the help, the assistance that Ra's parents offer us when it comes to the two girls and a boy on the way very soon. Thank you, Jesus, help us out. There's going to be a lot going on. But Ra's parents are absolutely phenomenal. They are a massive help. They regularly have the girls for us overnight. Little Summer goes to Ra's mum's during the week. And to be honest with you, I don't think we could do what we do in our lives and ministry and everything else if it wasn't for their support. Now, I always want to make sure that I express my gratitude for all of the help they give us, because not everyone has that help. Not everyone has parents in the same city or parents that are available and able to help in that way. I never want a spirit of entitlement to kick in that says, hey, you don't need to thank them. They're grandparents. That's what grandparents do. Like, that's what they have to do. If they're not doing that, then what are they doing? This is,
I see what's going on here. There's children here. There's your parents are here. There's grandparents here. I won't go there. But sometimes a spirit of entitlement wants to slip in. But that is worldly thinking. That is not gospel thinking. Gospel thinking is I'm going to express gratitude whether I have to or not because I'm thankful for what this person is doing for me. Relationship experts, the Gottmans, many of you would know them, they say that one of the most critical ingredients for a thriving relationship is expressing our gratitude. You can have a relationship that is really challenged and it's not going too well, and in a moment of time, one word can radically change the trajectory of that relationship. In one moment, saying to someone, thank you. Thank you for everything you do for me. Thank you for the sacrifices you've made. Thank you for that decision you made a few years ago that was a hard decision, but you made that decision for our family. Thank you for choosing me each day, even when I'm not at my best. One word, thank you, can literally resurrect a relationship that's hurting. It can be the beginning of an incredible, incredible relationship. Expressing gratitude has power. It can radically change relationships. I've got a great relationship with my dad, and the other day he called me up, and he doesn't generally talk like this. He called me up and he said, Luke, I'm calling just to say two things. He kind of said it in a fast voice because, you know, us men, we don't like to get too soppy. He's like, Luke, I'm calling two things. First thing is, I just want to say thank you for being an amazing son. I was like, wow, that's nice. And he's like, secondly, I just want to say thank you. I know that we've worked on some different investment things together. I want to say thank you for all the work you've put in. I was kind of like, wow, like we don't always talk like this. This is a bit different. But to be honest, I felt really good after that. I felt really valued. I felt like, hey, Dad really loves me and appreciates me. And to be honest, I wanted to respond by thanking him for all the things that he's done for me because he's done a heck of a lot more for me than I've ever done for him. And what it does in a relationship is it causes the person on the receiving end to want to reciprocate. And it causes this dynamic of gratitude and appreciation and love to take place in the relationship. One of the things gratitude leads to is contentment. If you want to become a frustrated human being, I've got a formula for you. Because I know heaps of you came to church going, I want to learn how to be frustrated. No one came to church that way. But if you want to live a frustrated life, this is exactly what you need to do. Never celebrate your wins and only focus on problems. Never celebrate the wins God brings into your life and just focus on the issues, the problems. On the contrary, if you want to live a life of contentment, focus on your wins. Thank God for all the good things that He's brought into your life and look to the future with faith and anticipation and expectation. That's what leads to contentment when we live each day going, God, I thank you for what you've done. I'm going to count my blessings, celebrate the wins, count your blessings, and express your gratitude to God. To be honest, when I find myself a little bit frustrated and I kind of do a bit of a check, like what's going on here, Luke? Like get out of autopilot. Why are you frustrated this last few days, this week? It only happens rarely, guys. I'm being real here. In those moments, what I find is I'm frustrated generally because something hasn't gone to plan. Like there's something that's a little bit out of whack. Something hasn't gone to plan. Or I'm spending too much of my time focusing on something that doesn't really matter. In the grand scheme of things, this little issue, it doesn't really matter, but who knows, we can get caught up in these things and they can begin to steal our joy and our gratitude and our thankfulness. And as soon as I step back and look at the big picture and put that little thing in its place, all of a sudden I regain perspective the contentment of God begins to flow in my life a little bit. Philippians 4:4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think about such things. There's a big difference between complaining and expressing gratitude. Who knows, there's been a lot of complaining the last year as we've journeyed our way through COVID lockdowns and many other things. And I've been one of those people complaining at different points. There's been a lot of complaining that has taken place over the last year for various reasons. Now, here's the interesting thing. God isn't against us complaining. God isn't against us having questions in our heart. God isn't against the wrestle. But what God does is he invites us to bring our complaint to him rather than to other people. How many people know that when you bring your complaints to others, it can sap your energy? It can sap the life and the energy out of others. He invites us to bring those things to him because it can sap our energy when we go over and we repeat and we rehearse these conversations with others. I wonder what would happen if every time we felt like complaining, we replaced that complaint with an expression of gratitude. Instead of complaining about our kids, we go, "God, I love this about my children." Instead of complaining about our in-laws, "Hello," we chose to go, "God, I love this thing about my in-laws." Instead of complaining about something going on at church, "Hello, it's getting quiet," we go, "God, I'm so grateful that our church values your word or values prayer. I'm so grateful that we have a clear vision," expressing our gratitude towards God for the things that he has given us. Hear this, your relationship with gratitude will determine whether your life is a gift to be enjoyed or a burden to be endured. Your relationship with gratitude will determine whether your life is a gift to be enjoyed or a burden to be endured. As the worship team joins me, I want us to see that thankfulness attracts God's supernatural intervention. Thankfulness attracts God's supernatural intervention. In John 6, Jesus gave thanks to the Father, and then God multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. In John 11, we see Jesus gave thanks to the Father and then God raised Lazarus from the dead. In Mark 14, we see Jesus gave thanks to the Father before his crucifixion and then 3 days later, God rose Jesus from the dead. Are you seeing the pattern here? Jesus's thankfulness always preceded the supernatural intervention of God. When he positioned himself in a place to thank God for who he was, who he is, for his character, his nature, and his power, God began to step in. If you need provision in your life right now, can I encourage you, begin to thank God that he is a provider. If you need healing in your life, begin to take time to thank God that he is a healer. If you need deliverance in your mind from worry and concern, begin to thank God that he is a deliverer. When we take time to name who God is, when we take time to declare God's character and to thank him in advance for what he wants to do in our lives, it attracts the supernatural power of God, the supernatural intervention of God. There is nothing more powerful than praising God. There is nothing more powerful than expressing our gratitude to God, not just for what he does, but for who he is.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, But God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.